the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
So, Dylan, I have to confess something to you. And I'm wondering how many people across America did what I did last night as you were going to bed. So welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you guys with us today. I can't believe I'm confessing this. You know, there is such a thing as oversharing, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes I think yours truly, the host of this program, sometimes I overshare. But I don't think I'm oversharing. So, I have a pretty regular nighttime, bedtime routine, and I have this new device. What is it? It's not like the Alexa, but it's something else. And Dylan, one of the family members, your uncle, he gave me this device, and it plays, it's sort of a Google kind of Alexa kind of a thing, and it plays like, things like noises. And I don't know what you call this thing. Google Home, is that what it's called?
That's one of them. Isn't it an Echo?
It may be an Echo.
Echo Dot.
And at nighttime, it senses what time of day it is. It's a little creepy. But anyway, at nighttime, you can actually, you can play sounds. And so I enjoy the chirping of the crickets and whatnot. And so anyway, I play that. And it puts me to sleep. It sounds like you're in the forest, in the woods. And like there's a little hoot owl, hoo hoo, and all these little creatures. And the problem is, it's really kind of got annoying after like two nights, and I can't figure out how to turn the thing off. So anyway, I'm still oversharing here. But anyway, I have my cell phone, and normally I keep my smartphone right next to my bedside. And I have the alarm set, and I'm one of these people, when I get a text at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I check the text. Anyway, last night, after that story we told yesterday about what was happening in Beirut with all of the pagers exploding, I literally put the smartphone on the other side of the bedroom, just in case. God forbid, you don't want to get blown up. Anyway, so I wondered, did anybody else do that? I was out walking yesterday. My phone starts getting warm, and it had nothing to do with the Israelis. It had everything to do with it. It was 90 degrees in Memphis, and I was walking outside, and all of a sudden you're like, holy cow. So I'm wondering how many people are now walking around with their smartphones, hoping and praying it doesn't explode. This is a fascinating story. And by the way, the breaking news is that more wireless devices are now exploding across Beirut. So here's, this is brilliant. So we now know that Israel was responsible, and everybody is calling it they're calling it a James Bond kind of a thing. And I guess somebody asked Benjamin Netanyahu, is this kind of like James Bond? And Netanyahu is so brilliant. He said, no, it's not James Bond. It's Benjamin Netanyahu. Holy smokes. So this is pretty brilliant. So now we understand that some sort of, a shipment of these pagers. And let me give you the backstory. A lot of us were wondering, okay, why did they not upgrade to the iPhone, right? Why don't they have the iPhone 16? What's up with that? Well, it turns out that the Israelis were actually able to track those devices. So they decided to go old school and go back to the pagers. And that's the reason why everybody had pagers. And so anyway, the Israelis were able to commandeer a shipment of the pagers. They were able to install a tiny little amount of explosive. Now, we don't know how this all worked, whether it was some sort of a detonation or, a message was sent. We have heard reports, that all of the terrorists received the same message. Get ready to see 72 virgins. They click the message and kabooey. Abdul go boom. So anyway, yes, it is unsympathetic because they're terrorists. They deserve whatever is coming their way. These are very bad people. We're talking about Hezbollah. So anyway, the last reports we had is that there were over 4,000 terrorists that lost arms and legs and chunks of their buttocks yesterday. We also understand an untold number. They lost their nether regions. Their balls were literally blown off. It's brilliant. I mean, so now the terrorists are not allowed to breed other terrorists. And what I love about this is not a single Israeli soldier was injured. Not a single Israeli soldier had to leave their barracks, right? So anyway, so now, and by the way, Hezbollah, they said they've been trying to reach out to Israel. I would recommend sending a text message, but, well, that probably wouldn't work. So now, so what they did was, now that all of their pagers were blowing up, they had to switch to the walkie-talkies. Well, guess what else got commandeered? So today, all of the walkie-talkies are blowing up, and if these Hezbollah folks are not the brightest bulbs, so you, if there are any left, and that's the big question, are there any able-bodied terrorists left in Beirut? But apparently, fires are being set. I have no sympathy for any of these people. These are very bad, evil monsters. These are the people that are responsible for slaughtering innocent young Israelis. I have no sympathy for these people at all. So if Ahmed and Abdul, you know, they got fooled into calling 1-800-Muhammad, and then kablooey happens. Man, all over the place. I don't have a problem with that. I am perfectly content with that. And I got some nasty messages. I love these. We call them woke evangelicals. These are the, you know, the types. They turn their churches into LGBT worship centers. They worship the rainbow. And I got a message from one of the one of those preachers. They wear the collars. You know the types. And they got the little, what do they call it? The robes with the vestments, and they got the rainbow-colored vestments. How dare you? Who do you think you are? You proclaim to love Jesus, and yet you're celebrating the fact that these terrorists are being blown to smithereens. Who do you think you are? Yeah, I got no problem with that. What would Jesus do? I think he'd send a text message. But that's just me. So anyway, we'll keep you updated. Do we have a running tally? We're going to get a running tally of how many terrorists are now off the books. I'm telling you, it's going to be a rough day at Hezbollah HQ because, well, first of all, nobody's going to be there, and they can't call in sick because if they call in sick, well, they're going to lose another finger. So it's a quandary. Maybe they ought to use carrier pigeons. Is that what we're down to? All right. 901-260-5926 is the number. We have a fun show coming up. Laura Trump is going to be here today. Also, our good friend Pastor Robert Jeffress from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be talking to him. I want to say something about an incident that just happened on X. And then we're going to get to our big story after we take the break here. There was an incident earlier today on X, and I got a lot of messages from you folks about it. Now, I just want to warn you, and this is specifically to the conservatives in the audience. You got to be careful with the news sources that you follow on X, and I'm talking about the conservative news sources. So some guy whose resume, and I'm not kidding you, the guy's resume, and this is what it said, American journalist. That's it. Maybe 1,000, 2,000 followers, all right? The guy says, sources tell me that police have discovered an explosive device at the Trump rally in Long Island, New York. So anyway, people are sending me this, and the guy was quoting an unnamed source telling him X, Y, or Z. And that was sort of shocking. And so just about every major celebrity on X picks up this news and broadcast it as if it is the gospel truth and as if they themselves have discovered this information. So they did not attribute to this American journalist using the air quotes. So it turns out within like, I don't know, 10 minutes, that the Nassau County Police Department come out and says, no, this is not true. No, this is fake news. This did not happen. And it doesn't matter because the Daily Mail picked it up. Everybody's picking up the story. Nobody has original content except coming from this Yahoo who describes himself as an American journalist. So here's what we do on the Todd Stearns radio show. We will second source our information. You did not find that story on our X feed. We will second source, and if it's unbelievable, you know, or seems unbelievable, we will third source it. But we're just not going to go off what somebody just randomly says on X. We're not going to do that. So all that to say, you got to be careful. There's a lot of fake news out there, and a lot of it is on the conservative side as well. We do our best here. That's not to say we're perfect. We're pretty close, but we're not perfect. And when we do make a mistake, well, we fess up to it. We own up to the mistake. But, you know, again, a lot of these other folks won't. You know what they're doing? That's so deceitful. A lot of these, like, they're like, we're the breaking news headquarters. They're not breaking squat. You know what they're doing? They're stealing other people's content and claiming it as their own. That's what they're doing. I hate that. Anyway, all that to say, be careful. Everybody's safe at the Trump rally. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. It's just a fake news story. I do want to say this. Thousands of people are right now outside of the arena in Long Island waiting to see President Trump. He doesn't show up till 7 o'clock tonight. Thousands of people showed up as the sun was rising. Folks, I am telling you, there is something going on here. There is, I think the American people, and I hope the American people, are going to send a very clear message to the Democrats, to the mainstream media, and all those other yahoos out there who are trying to kill Donald Trump. I truly believe it. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. You've asked, and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a 6-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Also, now reports that there have been spontaneous explosions and fires at solar farms in Lebanon as well. Folks, I'm telling you, you don't want to mess around with the Israelis. That being said, and I will say this, a chief criticism I have about Israel, I have two. Number one, they don't allow Christians to share the gospel. They don't allow proselytizing is not allowed in Israel. Number two is that they don't allow law-abiding citizens to own guns. And I will say this, if the Israeli people would have been able to defend themselves against the terrorist on October the 7th, I think that we would have seen maybe a different outcome. And at least some of those families might have been able to be spared. So out of all of this, I certainly hope that Israel considers changing its policies. It seems to me that every single person in the nation of Israel should be armed. And the same here in this country, by the way. I truly believe that. Now, I want to explain to you how dangerous Kamala Harris is. She is a Marxist in a pantsuit, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that. Now, I sent over some audio, and we're going to play this in just a moment. Back when Kamala Harris was district attorney in San Francisco, she explained to the good law-abiding people of San Francisco that she was going to play hardball with law-abiding gun owners. Now, this woman wanted to literally go into the homes of private gun owners and inspect their weapons. I am not making this up. Cut number five.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
So I know the audio is a little difficult to hear, but she said that the government has a right to come into your home and inspect the guns that are in your home. It doesn't matter if you haven't committed a crime. It doesn't matter who you are. In Kamala Harris's Marxist mind, she believes that the government has a right to knock on your door, let's say 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. They show their badges. They march in and they said, we need to see your guns. We have to inspect your weapons. Got a question. Would you allow the government to do that? Would you allow the government to come inside the sanctity of your home? Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution is very clear that our rights should not be infringed upon, and that is infringement. And by the way, she says, we just want to make sure you're being a responsible gun owner. Well, if the guns are locked up in the house, you are being a responsible gun owner. And it's nobody's business, especially some chick in a pantsuit, whether or not your guns are in your home or not. That's none of her business. But why stop there? What if one day they decide, you know what, because I'm telling you folks, mark my words on this, they're going to be coming after the Bible one day. Very soon, they will start targeting the Bible. And certain passages of the Bible that anger and trigger a certain demographic of the people. Hashtag Subaru drivers. I'm just telling you right now, that is going to happen. And one day, you could have Kamala Harris, and God forbid she gets elected president, but Kamala Harris says, you know what, we need to make sure that those Bibles you have are locked up and they're not out there for the kids to read, so we're going to be coming into your home, and, you know, again, this is all about being responsible. We want to come in and make sure that kids don't have access to those Bibles in your home. Or what happens if AOC's New Green Deal takes effect, and they want to inspect your freezer to make sure you don't have any hamburger meat in there? I mean, where do you draw the line here, ladies and gentlemen? But I am telling you, these people are very dangerous. Keep in mind, it was Tampon Timmy Walz, her running mate, who said that we are not guaranteed First Amendment rights in this country. There's a reason this guy was picked. There's a reason why Kamala Harris was handpicked. These are very dangerous people. These are offshoots of Barack Hussein Obama and his policies. That's what this is all about. So all I'm telling you folks is we have a lot riding on this election in November. You have got to get out. You have got to register to vote. You've got to make sure that after you register to vote, you go and vote. And unfortunately, a lot of America First conservatives, number one, are not registered to vote. And a lot of you people are not voting. A lot of you people are not voting. So you've got to get out there. And by the way, if all of the America First patriots vote, if all of the evangelical Christians vote, guess what happens? Trump wins in a landslide. And your guns are protected and your Bible, too. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRite ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRite, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRite is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So there is a church in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. There, it's called Trinity Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. The pastor's is it safe to say he's been controversial in the Christian world? I don't want to go into a deep dive and all of that stuff, but anyway, a lot of people get triggered by Mark Driscoll, and I don't know that much about him, but I am very impressed with how he handled this situation. So they have a Jesus 2024 sign in the front of the church. I'm assuming that it's sort of a riff off of the campaign, but it's not a political sign. They're not telling people to go and vote for Jesus Christ in 2024, but that's what the sign said. Anyway, I want you to listen. This is a little bit lengthy, but I want you to listen to what happened and how the church responded to it. And I'm more intrigued with how the church is responding to this attack from the woke government leaders in Scottsdale, Arizona.
So I was sitting at the house today and I was preparing the sermon, and the final point is civil disobedience, and that sometimes government says and does stupid things that just don't make any sense. And at some point you just got to say, no, that's a dumb idea. And I was asking, Lord, okay, what is my closing illustration? I kid you not, this was my day. And then my phone rang. And I was told that on Friday at 4:59 p.m., 26 seconds, that means 34 seconds before the day ends, we got an email from a local government official regarding Trinity Church. I said, you got to be kidding me. And for that person, we love you. God bless you. I would encourage you to check something called the First Amendment, where it talks about freedom of speech and religion, and just consider either of those principles. But nonetheless, what we got is, let me say this. So we got a sign out front. We threw it up. Jesus Christ 24. Amen? That's the sign. So we put a sign out, Jesus Christ 24, right? And we got an email. We are now receiving complaints. So I'm sure it wasn't someone named Karen, but someone complained. We are now receiving complaints regarding a temporary sign that was erected in the ROW adjacent to the church. See attached photo. This sign does not appear to be a political sign for a current candidate. If the sign does not meet certain requirements, it is subject to removal. I would just humbly submit, if you work for the government, before you go around collecting signs, figure out how to close the border and take care of people before signs.
Oh, hello.
So, would you like to have more fun with me, briefly? This is the property surrounding our church. Up on the top left, you will notice all the signs, and then the sign pointing to the sign is the sign pointing to our sign. So across from our sign are a lot of other signs. If you came off the freeway up top to the right in the Welcome to Scottsdale, it is surrounded by signs. If you came in the other direction, you were met at the intersection by the bottom right, lots of signs. All right, to quote a great comedian, here's your sign. But this is the day in which we live. So let me just say this. Here we are in Scottsdale, Arizona. And as far as I know, it's still America.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay? Scottsdale, Arizona was founded, for those of you who are new, in 1888 by the U.S. Army chaplain Winfield Scott. They named the town after a Bible-teaching pastor. He moved here, started Bible studies, and planted a church. And if Winfield Scott were here, he would tell you that he probably had a, Jesus Christ 1888 sign in the front of his church when they started Scottsdale, Arizona, because he's a Bible teaching Christian who gave his whole life to encouraging people to vote for Jesus. And what we mean by that is this: as you're choosing your political leader, make sure you choose your eternal Savior. Politicians come and go, but Jesus Christ and his kingdom, it endures forever and ever. And while you're thinking about who to vote for on earth, think about who to vote for in eternity. And we would tell you to turn from sin, trust in Jesus Christ, and vote for him, because he's coming again with a kingdom that will never end. And we want to see you in it. We don't want you to be an enemy of it. In addition, we have been asked to take our sign down. And I think it's just curious, just an observation. There's a ton of signs and only one says Jesus, and that's the one that's offensive. Not to us, that's our favorite sign. And what I would say is, if a lot of people are seeing it, that's great. We're going to keep it up. So to the lovely government bureaucrats that send emails, we love you, we forgive you, we bless you, we thank you. We will not comply, we will multiply. So I have ordered a sign company to make each one of you a sign for free. Okay? They are being printed as we speak. They will roll in this week for real men and real women. You can pick up a copy next week. We will not comply, but we will multiply. Amen? Well, that was fun. All right.
All right. Well, there you go. Wow. I like what that preacher had to say there. And again, the issue is do not comply, but multiply. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the church's response to all of this. They're going to be giving all of their church members their own sign that they could post, I suppose, on the front yard of their home or wherever. But again, he's got a great point. They're only targeting the Jesus sign. There are plenty of other signs all over the place, but they're going after the church's Jesus sign. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You have to be very, very wise here, ladies and gentlemen, about where all of this is going, this country. And I know there are a lot of very well-known pastors out there, people like Andy Stanley, for example, and others that are really causing confusion. And it's something very interesting about Andy Stanley is that this guy has to come back, and I've known him for decades. There's something very interesting about Andy Stanley and those kinds of pastors. They always have to come back and clarify what they mean. By the way, Pope Francis has to do the same thing. I don't think there's any clarification needed. I think what they say the first time around is the God's honest truth for them. And the reality is that a lot of these pastors are really sowing confusion among Christians. And a lot of Christians feel compelled not to vote because they're afraid to. They've been told that if you are a Christian, that you should not love your country, that if you're a Christian, you should not engage in the political process. Well, where is that in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen? Where is it in the Bible that says that Christians are supposed to basically just stay inside their homes and not go anywhere? Where is that? I will say this. We are told to be good citizens in the Bible. We are told to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. We are to be, as a matter of fact, going back to the early days of our country, before we were even a country, the church played a pivotal role in the life of the community. And if you want to know what's wrong with America, I'm just going to get off on a little tangent here. If you want to know what's wrong with America right now, it's really not politics. Politics has always been corrupt. The problem in America is that the church is no longer at the center of life in our communities. Right? I'll never forget this years ago. This was like 2000, oh, I don't know, two or three. And this is when all the whole, like, you know, worship bands, that whole thing was really coming into focus. And there was a lady who came in, and she had been in a really bad situation. She was always at the bars. And so she was looking for answers, and she became a newborn Christian. And so she sort of left that whole world of seedy nightclubs and the whole whatever. So anyway, she popped in to the church I was attending. And look, for me, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter if there's a choir or not. I personally like choirs. I like bands. And that, to me, I know for a lot of people that bothers you, and I get it. For me, it's a non-issue. The only thing I do ask is when I'm in a church is that there be enough light so that I can actually read the Bible during the sermon. And there needs to be a pretty darn good sermon. I don't need a self-help. You know, if I want that, I'll go listen to a podcast. You know, I want a good hefty sermon. So anyway, she walks in and it's pitch black. There's like pulsating lights and smoke, and they've got the band. And this is back in the, it was 2003, 2004. And she just rushed out of the room, and she got so triggered because she said that, she said it reminded her of one of the seedy nightclubs that she used to work in. I'm like, geez, Lou. So all that to say is this. The problem is a lot of churches become like the world, and I know what the initial intent was good, but the reality is you can't do that. And we're supposed to be salt and light. Unfortunately, a lot of these churches are on like a sodium-free diet or something. It's really unfortunate. So that being said, imagine what this country would be like if we actually had strong churches that were focused on teaching kids. A lot of the early, in the early days of this country, the schools were not public schools. They were church schools. Harvard University, for example. The only reason Harvard University was created was not so that rich people could have a place to send their kids to get them out of the house. No, no, no. The purpose of Harvard University was to train up pastors for America's churches. And you see how that went. So all I'm saying is, we need to start really focusing on what's happening in our local churches. Healthy churches and strong churches, I think, equals healthy and strong communities. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, we have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stern Show.
And this is a pretty significant story, and I know a lot of concerned parents out there listening to us on KWAM, our flagship affiliate in the Memphis area. A number of schools across Memphis and Shelby County are now on lockdown due to threats that are being made on social media. Now, we understand that a lot of different agencies are involved in investigating. So far, everybody's fine. There is, they're just threats. We understand that the Memphis Police Department and the Shelby County Sheriff's Department are the lead agencies for the investigation. This coming from the reporting of Fox 13 in Memphis, that many of the threats are coming from overseas and from chat bots that are sending the same images not only to Memphis but schools in other parts of the country. So this very well may be happening in your local community as well. If you remember, a couple of days ago, there was the big national story about the schools in Springfield, Ohio, where they had received these threats, these bomb threats. And the governor came out and said, hey, look, all of these threats came from overseas. And that could be what we're looking at here. There is a statement that has been sent out, or in an email to parents, saying we are aware of a threat to several of our schools. And as a precautionary measure, please do not go to your child's school as law enforcement is actively investigating. We're going to provide you updates as necessary. If you are listening to us on KWAM, give us a call. Let us know what you see. If you're at your child's school, maybe you are at one of the schools, give us a call. Let us know what you see. 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. And look, it's scary. I mean, there's a lot of bad actors out there, and a lot of people want to do crazy stuff, and threats are made. So if you are a parent or a grandparent, yeah, I can imagine that you would definitely be worried and be concerned. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on this, and we will let you know as soon as we find out any information. But according to the Memphis Police Department, it appears a lot of these threats are coming from overseas actors. All right, again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, I want to go back to this Kamala Harris story from yesterday. She sat down with the National Association of Black Journalists, and it was basically, the interview was, I'm trying to find, Dylan, a polite way to say this. I know we have ladies listening to the Todd Starnes radio show right now. It was sort of like a Swedish massage with benefits. That's what that interview was all about. I mean, there were softball questions. She didn't answer anything. She never answered a question. She always pivoted to, she lived in a neighborhood where everybody took care of their lawns, and that her mother was middle class. That's all we are hearing right now from Kamala Harris. So it's kind of a weird thing. Well, anyway, apparently her campaign is really upset about this. There's been a lot of pushback. As a matter of fact, people are enraged within her inner circle, and it got so crazy they had to have Barack Hussein Obama intervene on a Zoom call. So all is not well right now in Kamala Harris HQ. People are really aggravated. And one of the things I keep hearing about Kamala Harris is she is not a very pleasant person. She is quick to anger, and she is a very, very, very sensitive individual. That's what's going on with Kamala Harris. So I, again, feel very confident with where Donald Trump is going right now. If the campaign stays focused on the issues, then we are going to win in a landslide. If we get off in la-la land talking about whatever, that's going to be a problem. But as long as we stay focused, then everything is going to be okay, and we're going to win big. Also getting reports now, thousands of people are turning out already outside of this Coliseum in Nassau County, which is in Long Island, New York, just right outside of New York City. Thousands of people. And I know Trump is out there saying that New York is in play, and a lot of people may not realize this. They may not realize that New York actually is in play. They think Trump is speaking out the wazoo. No, he is not speaking out the wazoo. Trump knows. The good people, the hardworking people of New York State are fed up. And hear me on this. And it may be a situation where, okay, Trump does not win New York in the general election, but guess what could happen? You can have enough Republicans voting and turning out that you could actually flip a good many congressional seats. So, yes, Trump may end up losing New York State, but we could pick up two or three or maybe more congressional seats that get flipped because of the activated and the active Republican and conservative community. I mean, that's That is going to be a phenomenal thing if that happens. All right, look, we've got to take a quick break. Now's a great opportunity to head over to our website, by the way. Check out all of our great new reporting. Also, check out the Todd Starn store. We have lots of cool merch for you to check out. And by the way, we are working on revamping the store, so we're going to have more merch to tell you about in the coming days. Also, Laura Trump is coming up in the next hour, along with our good buddy Dave Brandt from Liberty University. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. Our love is American right.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us. Now broadcasting on 170 radio stations across America. By the way, coming up at 5 o'clock tonight, I'll be hosting my show on Newsmax TV. Looking forward to having all of you guys join us for a wild conversation a little bit later on. Also, just want to give you an update for all of our Memphis and Mid-South listeners. There is a major situation involving public schools that are receiving threats. We understand that a lot of these threats are apparently emanating through bots from overseas, and your kids are safe. There have been no acts of violence, but there are threats, and the school board is asking you not to go right now to your school, your kid's school. They'll be sending out more information to you. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're always honored to have our good friend Laura Trump. She is the chairperson of the RNC, also has one heck of a great podcast called The Right View. Laura, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, well, you know, I'd be doing better if it was November 6th and Donald Trump had just been elected as our 47th president, but Todd, we'll take it today.
Yes.
And we're working towards that goal every day.
And before we jump into all of this, I just have to say we've been monitoring the crowds turning out in Nassau County, New York, thousands and thousands of people already in line waiting to see the president. Also in Pittsburgh, Vivek Ramaswamy and Charlie Kirk are rounding up hundreds and hundreds of college students and getting them to register to vote. Laura, there's an excitement surrounding this campaign and the Republican Party that I haven't seen in a really long time.
Yeah, well, I think so. And I think it's because people really, Todd, understand how important this election is. And I know we've been saying that continually over the past, you know, 2 years or so, give or take, since Donald Trump reentered this race and really since our country started heading in the wrong direction. But I think when you see the nature of things across the board, whether it's the fact that you have the Democrat Party using the least democratic process to plug in a candidate in Kamala Harris, whether it's the fact that she has ultimately failed at the one job that she was given as border czar. I was just down at the southern border in Yuma, Arizona, 2 days ago. I went in the middle of the night, and I got to tell you, it is absolutely mind-boggling the mistakes and the, it seems, intentional lack of trying to do anything at the southern border that current administration has done. It's a travesty and an assault to our entire country. Or whether it's the fact that people can't even make basic ends meet. It's hard to get by. People are going into debt right now just to put food on the table for their families. We've got wars breaking out. And I think people are starting to understand how critical this election truly is. And that, Todd, is really what it's going to be about. I love that you're talking about getting people registered to vote. SwampTheVoteUSA.com, by the way, is a website that every one of your listeners right now can go to. It is via the campaign and the RNC, but you can check out your voter registration status. Some people may think they're registered. Some people might not know. Go to SwampTheVoteUSA.com, and you can find out everything you need there, your polling locations, when early vote starts in your area, because that is the key to this election. This is a turnout election, and if every freedom-loving patriot comes out and votes for Donald Trump and Republicans down the ticket, we will see a huge success on election night. And I love to hear that Charlie Kirk's out there, Vivek Ramaswamy, great members of the team that loves this country, and that's what it's going to take for the next 47 days.
You're absolutely right. And we've seen all the stats. And the reality is we need America First patriots to go and vote. It's not a matter of just showing up at a rally. It's about getting out and voting on Election Day. That's going to make all the difference. And Laura, I know President Trump, people are, you know, they're like, they think he's crazy because he's saying, you know what? New York State is going to be in play. When you see those kinds of crowds, I believe it. And I think the good people of New York, just like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Minnesota, Laura, people are just suffering under the weight of inflation. They see illegals being given precedent or given preference over American citizens. And I think the average American has said, we're done here.
I think you're right. And I think New York State is interesting. I think New Jersey is interesting. I think New Hampshire is interesting. Virginia, you might have noticed, we added Virginia and Minnesota to our battleground state map at the RNC and Trump campaign very recently. And there's a reason for that. And actually, New York in particular, if you look at polling in New York, Donald Trump has been within single digits of whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, whoever else they plug in, Todd, don't think it really matters, in this recent election. And you look at polling with Jewish voters in New York in particular, and Donald Trump right now is polling at just above 50%. That is monumental. And I don't think you can underscore how big a deal that truly is. But you're right. I don't think it matters where you are in this country. Everyone is suffering. And the incredible opportunity we currently have is that we can get back to the time when Donald Trump was in the White House because he was there for 4 years. You can also do the same with Kamala Harris because she's been there for nearly 4 years, and people simply have to compare their life, how things are going, how they feel the trajectory of this country is, how they feel overall in the world right now. And I think it's a no-brainer for people. Donald Trump meant success for every single American. He gave you your shot at the American dream. He put more money in your pocket. He secured our southern border. He kept our community safe, and there was peace through strength all around the world because of Donald Trump. And so they're having a really hard time on the other side convincing people with Kamala Harris' very flowery words. They give her a lot of lines she repeats about being a middle-class kid and growing up with beautiful lawns in her neighborhood. But that isn't going to put food on the table for your family. And people remember who actually did that for them, and it's Donald J. Trump.
Well, that's right. And, of course, we've been playing the audio from back when Kamala Harris was a DA, and she said that the government has a right to go into the homes of law-abiding gun owners to make sure that their guns are being handled responsibly. That is right out of somebody's Marxist handbook. Geez, aloo. But, again, the media is not asking the tough questions. Instead, they're doubling down on these attacks. And Laura, I want to get your reaction to what Corinne Jean-Pierre said yesterday. She was going at it with Ducey, Peter Ducey. And she said he was calling her out on the dangerous rhetoric they're spewing about President Trump. And she basically said it is dangerous for you to be asking those kinds of questions.
It's amazing to see because, you know, there is only one person who's had two assassination attempts on his life, and that's Donald Trump. And, you know, when you go back and you replay all of the things that have been said about this man, and let me tell you something about Donald Trump. This is the guy who didn't need this job, Todd, first time around. He certainly did not need to lose zeros off of his net worth, which he has. He certainly did not need four indictments, a mugshot, two assassination attempts, 34 felony counts, which everyone knows is totally fraudulent and bogus, $500 million from litigation, $92 million via someone he's never met in his life. It's ridiculous. And the fact that this man is still in this fight is remarkable. And I think it's because he truly knows he's been called by God to do the job of President of the United States. And shame on anyone who has incited the things that have happened to him, weaponizing the Department of Justice against him, whether encouraging people.
Laura, let me jump in here. We are getting a really garbled signal. Guys, can we put Laura on hold? And let's just see if we can't reestablish that connection real quick, because I want to finish up and I want to give Laura a chance to finish up her thought here. But folks, you heard Laura Trump just seconds ago say what I believe is the truth about what we are dealing with here in this country, is that God has a plan here. And I believe that Donald Trump is part of that plan. You know, God uses some of the people that you would suspect the least. God uses to do mighty things. And I believe that Donald Trump in this time for our nation is that man. And you say, well, where can you point to that in the Bible? I can't. I can't. But there's no other way to explain what's been happening in this country other than the fact that there is a reason why Donald Trump is the nominee again. There is a reason why his life has been spared two times. And I believe that God is going to do some mighty things through this Trump presidency. And the left, they hate this. I do believe I'm a person who believes in evil and demonic spirits. And I think that demonic spirit has infested the Democrats and their party right now. It's outrageous. But I want to go back to we were able to reestablish contact with Laura. And Laura, I thought it was interesting what you said about God, because I do believe in divine providence. And I think that God has a plan here.
I mean, I can't think of any other reason, Todd, that Donald Trump is still in this race. And quite frankly, any other reason that Donald Trump is still alive right now. Two assassination attempts on your life within the course of 2 months is absolutely insane. And look, there does come a point where you say, how many lives does one person have? When does that luck run out? But I do believe that when you see all the things he's had against him and you really look at the grand scheme of things and the fact that, again, he didn't need to do this job. He knows that none of this stuff would have happened to him. None of the lawsuits, none of the indictments, impeachments, assassination attempts. If he just said, you know what, enough, I'm done, I'm going to bow out of this race. But he's not doing that. And I think it's because he really does understand how important this moment right now in our history truly is. And I want to make sure everybody understands this. This isn't just about what Donald Trump is doing. This is about what we all are doing. Sometime in your future, people will look at you and they will say, what did you do in the year 2024 to save this country? And I'll tell you what you can do. You can come be part of our election integrity team, protectthevote.com. You can volunteer to make sure that we get out the vote in the most massive way we've ever done at TrumpForce47.com. TrumpForce47.com is the website. You can make sure that whenever you hear people spreading lies and false information about a man who I'm going to say has given up most of his life at this point, he can't even go play golf, to save this country, make sure you push back on that narrative and make sure you really allow people to understand who this man is, what he's giving up, and why it's important that we're not just voting for someone that we want to be in our wedding party or our best friend, but we're making sure that we get a person into a position to work for us. And that's what happens when we elect people from the top all the way down who go to Washington, D.C. They work for us, for we the people. We all need to keep that in mind. And I do believe that this is a fight of good versus evil. I believe that God is on our side. And I don't think there's any other way, Todd, that you can explain Donald Trump not only remaining in this race, but remaining hopeful, positive, and just facing forward and putting his head down and doing the work that needs to be done. It's really incredible.
1,000%. Laura, I want you to take your RNC hat off for just a moment. And I know that you, as a member of the Trump family, your father-in-law, how are you guys dealing with this? I just, you know, if I was in that spot, if I was president, that had happened again, I would be out there saying, you know what, you guys are on your own. I'm done here. But that's not who Trump is, and I'm wondering how the family, how are you guys dealing with all of this?
I mean, I think that it's, I don't even know what to say sometimes, Todd. You know, this is my father-in-law. This is the grandfather to my two kids. And I think my brother-in-law, Don Jr., probably put it best. I know everybody probably saw his post when he said that he had to have another conversation with his kids about why someone was trying to hurt their grandfather. And I've had to have that conversation too. My kids just turned 5 and 7 years old. And you can't hide this stuff from them because they see it on TV. They hear it out there. You know, they're in school and who knows what happens when you're not with them. And it's terrible. And honestly, it's terrifying for all of us in our family. I think we've all truly worried about things like this happening. And to see it happen in such rapid succession back to back the way it did, makes me worry about copycats. It makes me worry that there is a bigger plot at play. It's very concerning, and it's never easy to see someone you love have anything even close to this happen to them. I worry about him constantly. Eric worries about him constantly. And I'm afraid that there will come a time where I might have to have a different conversation with his grandchildren, with my two kids, and it terrifies us every day.
And it's just unacceptable that we have to, that your family has to go through that, or any family in America has to go through that. Well, Laura, we got a lot of people around the nation, and you guys know this, that are praying for you, that are supporting you. And I think everybody, I think we're all going to be very surprised on Election Day by the turnout and by the passion that people have, because they see, you're right, it is a good versus evil choice, right versus wrong. And it's very black and white for me on Election Day, and I think a lot of other people see it the same way. Laura, we always appreciate you coming on the program, and just let us know what we can do to keep helping.
Oh, well, thank you. The prayers are so appreciated, so welcome. Keep praying for this country. Keep praying for Donald Trump, and get out and vote and make sure everyone you know does the same thing. So thank you, Todd. I always appreciate you.
All right. Laura Trump, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And folks, you got your marching orders from Laura Trump. And we need everybody volunteering. I don't care if you're in the darkest blue town in America. We've got to get out and we've got to stand up. We've got to get involved, volunteer on Election Day. We need a lot of eyeballs watching the counting, making sure that nothing weird goes on Election Day. And most importantly, and here's something everybody can do, is pray for the safety of President Trump. I mean, you heard in Laura's voice the concern and the fear that is there, and that's always going to be there. You just never know. And we're living in a very dangerous world right now. All right, look, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. We're going to try to work in some calls here. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, boy. Kamala Harris has introduced a new accent. It turns out that Kamala Harris, you know, whenever she's talking to the black crowds, she speaks with a Tyler Perry Madea accent. Or an Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son accent. She was speaking just moments ago to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and now she is speaking with her new Latina accent. She sounds like she's from Puerto Rico or somewhere. It's all very confusing. And if nothing else, if we could just get some clarification from the Harris campaign that today Harris is going to be speaking as an Indian, or she's going to be speaking as a white person. This would be very helpful for all of us in the media. So there you have it. Senora Harris unveiling her new Latina accent. We'll keep you updated on that. All right. We're going to be going to the phone calls here momentarily. 901-260-5926. If you want to get in line, that's 901-260-5926. ToddStearns.com, great website. Go check it out. Bookmark our website. And be sure to sign up for some of our free resources while you are there. You can download our podcast. You can also get my newsletter. Comes out every morning, 7 o'clock Eastern. Love for you to check that out. We'll be right back. By the way, have you made the switch to PatriotMobile.com/Todd? If not, what are you waiting for? Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. They use the same towers the other guys use. Just incredible nationwide coverage. And most importantly, they are standing up for our values. And that's what I love about Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use my first name, Todd, and you will unlock free activation Also, lots of other great discounts. By the way, they have a U.S.-based customer service team, PatriotMobile.com, and the number 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use that promo code, Todd. Well, there is some exciting news happening on the campus of Liberty University coming up September 23rd through the 25th. It's the CEO Summit at Liberty. I want to bring in our good friend. He is the Senior Vice President for Business Relations at Liberty, Dr. Dave Bratt. Dave, good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be on, Todd. Thanks very much for the plug. That's great.
Yeah, can we talk about the summit? I'm really intrigued by this. What are you guys doing? Who's coming to this thing?
Well, I don't give too much info out over the airwaves because the CEOs in this country have a hard enough time. The Christian CEOs have a real hard time. And I'll just tell you, it's the world changers. It's the biggest people who run the country, some of the biggest names in corporate, finance, marketing, et cetera, banking. You want to come here. And, you know, we got, you know, former Secretary of Defense, head of National Security Councils, former Secretary of Education, former Secretary of Labor, ambassadors from about 10 countries coming, diplomats. So there'll be about 500-600 people here, win-win business opportunities. That's it, friends in faith, we call it. But just go to Bratt Economics on Getter, Bratt, B-R-A-T, Bratt Economics on Getter, and there's an email there. And if I've got you interested, just send me an email. We'll send you the who's coming and in the registration form, and we'd love to have you with us.
I'm looking, you know, I know the university put out a big press release on this, and it really is an opportunity for C-suite executives and national leaders to network with friends of faith.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
And so if you're a business person, this is where you need to be. And where can people go if they – and give us that email address one more time, Dave.
Yeah, just go to Bratt Economics on Getter, G-E-T-T-R. Just go to that platform, and you'll see my email there. Just shoot me an email.
Got it. All right. Dave, we've got a lot going on today up in Washington.
Yeah.
This is tough with this continuing resolution. A lot of our friends, we have friends on both sides of this one. You've got, of course, the speaker wanting to attach the SAVE Act, and the Democrats say that's a poison pill. Then you've got the Freedom Caucus guys saying, wait a second, this is the same CR, and our spending levels are the same that they've been since Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
Yes, right. Yes. No, good for you, because that's the main point. They're still getting away with murder up there. You know, they'll use language like, we're not allowing any more increases in spending. Well, after you've already sunk the Titanic, right, a $7 trillion budget. Those were our COVID-level budgets when we were giving checks out to everybody in the country, right? So you had the budget when I was there was $4.5 or $5 trillion. Then we threw $2 trillion at every American. And once you ratchet it up, like Milton Friedman said, right, government never goes down in size. So we still have a COVID budget without COVID. We're just throwing money everywhere. The left is funding everything. It's all woke and weaponized policy as well from Pelosi, right? It's all of the $7 trillion plus woke and weaponized everything that you know about, right, with these assassination attempts. The DHS is over this. They won't hand any information over to Congress after being asked. DHS, CIA, FBI is getting a new building. Why not? You know, there's just problems all over. And our guys on our side of the football aren't doing much there either. And now the SAVE Act, it's an 80% issue, right, in the polls. It's illegals can't vote in federal elections, but they do have to tighten it up a little bit because state law differs a bit. And we don't even have the guts to run on that. And I'm you know, I hit the House hard. The left, the Democrats, all political views are my own, are just always in the punch bowl, right? If you're a political follower, you follow punch bowl. It's kind of a leftist thing. But they, you know, Republicans have tensions on budget again. What you're missing there is the dog that didn't bark, et cetera. They never have a headline about Democrats with budget tensions because they're Santa Claus. There's no upper bound. They just continuously blow cash. At least our side has a little tension and some people fighting back. And then the Senate, it never does anything, right? There's 12 finance bills The House did 5 or 6 of them. The Senate has done 0. So there's your symbolic ending to that story.
So the way it's supposed to happen, and we're looking at a vote today on this, Johnson wants to vote on this. The SAVE Act resolution is attached to the CR. That would require Americans, whoever is going to go vote on Election Day, you got to prove that you're a U.S. citizen. And I think that's a
right.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. But the problem is,
yes,
you're going to have a lot of Republicans who say, you know what, we agree with that, but we don't agree with the spending level. So I'm not even sure it gets out of the House, Dave.
Yeah, that could be. And the other problem, though, is these guys are magicians, right? They're like the Federal Reserve System. They can work magic. And so what I saw happening last week was the Freedom Caucus guys come in and say, we want the SAVE Act to save the country. Then the speaker gets together with the defense hawks, and the defense hawks say, you know, $7 trillion just isn't enough spending. We want even more spending. So they come in, and then the speaker, you've given him a little latitude and camouflage, because he can say, well, look, Freedom Caucus guys, I can't do this, because if you guys do that, and now I got the defense hawk saying that, so we're just going to have to pass a clean CR, and that might not even go through. And then at the end of the year, we'll end up doing an omnibus where you just throw the kitchen sink in and everybody gets what they want. And that's the worst case, right? So the CR, even though they don't like it, well, sorry, the House didn't do anything, right? So you're not going to pass 12 bills now in a week. So we're stuck. And you're certainly not going to get the Democrats to cut money. And, I voted no in budget committee all the time. But I'm just giving you the only angles left right now. And so a CR with the SAVE Act is the best proposal on the table right now that has any prayer. And that would take the speaker would have to stand up to the Senate when they come back and they say no to him. That's when the real game starts. Right.
Well,
getting it through the House, the speaker can put it through the House. If he says, you guys are voting for it, or I'm not giving you any money. They did it to all us always, right?
Yeah.
They can get it past 5 seconds.
Well, but then when it goes to the Senate, that's where things are going to come undone. It's going to be a mess. All right. Dave, well, I appreciate you weighing in on all this. It's wow. Folks, just go to the summit. Take your mind off things.
Yes. Yes. And you want one more sentence on the Federal Reserve rate cut?
Let's do it, Dave.
Yeah, just in one sentence, the fact that we are worried, that Wall Street's worried about a 0.25% interest rate cut, tells you we've got serious economic problems. That's the real message. The fact that Wall Street's freaking out over a quarter point, that means the real economy is a shambles. That's your takeaway on that one.
And Dave, can I just say this? This is what truly concerns me about Kamala Harris. Forget about everything else. This is one laser-focused issue. This woman, I don't think, knows how to balance a checkbook. I mean, she is completely ignorant about basic economic issues.
Right. No, I don't think she could do foreign policy, the South China Sea, economics. But I don't think she knows what the Federal Reserve or the Treasury are. Right. And I'm serious. And so that's a concern. So, you know.
Yeah.
Vote for your kids, please. Vote for your kids' best interest.
That's it. All right. Dave Bratt, Liberty University. Folks, you're going to want to go. If you are a business person, or maybe even are young people allowed to go, college kids, if they're at Liberty, can they sneak into this thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
All right. September 23rd through the 25th, it's the CEO Summit at Liberty University. And also, folks, go to liberty.edu, and you'll be able to get intel information there as well. All right, Dave.
That's good,
man.
Got it. Yep. Thanks, Todd. Right. You bet. See you, brother.
There you go. Good man, Dave Bratt, former congressman and a senior VP for business relations at Liberty University. So, no, I don't think she can. I really don't think she can balance a checkbook. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we go to the phones, when we come back, we're going right to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. As promised, let's get right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Gary in Daytona, Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate there. Hi, Gary, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, thank you very much. After listening to Lara Trump, the little bit that I've found and been looking at, this Ruth character, the last 20 years, besides multiple felonies, which confuses me because I was looking, and there's 38 countries where when you put your passport in to be scanned, there's no travel. And if you get caught traveling to that country or in that country, you're gone. You're back. And the other thing, I'm hoping this doesn't turn out like with the Butler shooter. They're trying to convince us that there's no footprint of this guy and they can't find much on him because of the convictions that he's had in the past. I looked up the statutes and this guy didn't have private counsel and I can't find if it was pro bono, but when he had a machine gun in 2000, I believe it was 9 or something, some of these statutes mandate 10 to 15 years minimum. So I can't imagine a public defender getting when he had altered serial number, weapons by a convicted felon. I'd love to know how he's traveled so freely. Plus, when he was in the Ukraine, I don't know how he looks up people, freedom fighters, he thinks, in Afghanistan and tries to call mercenaries to come to Ukraine. I mean, there's so much about this guy that's not right.
Well, no, there's a lot that we don't know that we need to know, Gary, about this guy. And the incident you were talking about actually happened in 2002 in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he was charged with having a weapon of mass destruction. And he was let out on probation. And that raised a lot of red flags for me, Gary. And I do wonder, and we've seen this happen before, where individuals who are on the radar of the government, they go out there, they commit a crime, and in exchange for, getting off, they are brought into the system in some capacity. But I'm with you. None of this really makes any sense. I'm telling you now, this guy has been profiled by a number of major national news publications. They don't do that, right? Nobodies don't get profiled by the New York Times. So there was something else going on here. I would not be surprised at all, Gary, if this guy was some sort of a government agent, or maybe he works for one of the government agencies in some unofficial capacity. The good news here is, at least for the time being, he is still alive. So maybe we'll be able to get some information out of the guy.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Gary, thank you for that call. And it's a good question. Because you're right, you can be a felon and get a passport, but the issue is you can't exactly, there are some countries you're not allowed to go and visit if, in fact, you are a convicted felon. So it's a good thought. By the way, got a note from one of our listeners over in North Carolina, Bill, and said, Todd, the school threat deal may be test runs for the election. This is going on here on a smaller scale, and he mentioned a school in Huntersville, North Carolina, that was on lockdown. He said the sheriff, and by the way, I think I met the sheriff in Statesville, North Carolina. What a great patriot that guy is. Anyway, they're on top of it. And at this very moment in Memphis, and if you missed the reporting, a number of schools around Memphis received threats today. And at South Wind High School, there's apparently a mob of parents trying to get into the building. Come on, folks. Come on. Just use common sense here. So anyway, but Bill raises a good point, is that the Memphis Police Department reported that these calls, these threats are coming from overseas, which is the same thing that happened in Springfield, Ohio. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. All right. I've got to tell you about, we've got an update to this story. This is out of Sylacauga, Alabama. We were talking about this yesterday, and I got a message from a friend who actually lives in Sylacauga, and he's a little fired up. And so I want to share this with you because illegals, or migrants rather, have been dumped in Sylacauga, Alabama. And the locals are really upset about it. You've got a couple of people on the city council that are upset about it. And I want to share this with you, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because it's a fascinating conundrum for a conundrum, rather, for the Christians in that community. According to one of the ministers, about 60 Haitians were dumped in Sylacauga. They came in vans and cars, and they are here legally under something called the parole program. What does that mean? They are not illegals, Todd. Nobody knew they were coming, not City Hall, not the Baptist Church, not anyone. About 25 live in one house not far from the church. There is another similar house and two hotel rooms with about five Haitians apiece. The scope is nowhere near what some are estimating. Well, I would say anything over one is a big deal, but that's just me. Most of the people in our church want to build the wall, tighten immigration laws, and secure our borders, but that is our role as citizens of America. And here's where I'm curious. We are also citizens of another kingdom. As Christians, we are seeking to care for the needs of the Haitians, teach them English, minister to them, and worship with them. We want to introduce them to Jesus. Unfortunately, some on the right, that's all of us, are mistaking our compassion and ministry for bleeding heart, left-wing softness on immigration, which is a serious mistake. Liberals outside our church are giving us money, while conservatives outside our church are giving us grief, which disturbs me greatly as a conservative. So I have a question for you here. What is the role of the Christian church here in America? I mean, let's just say you've got Sylacauga, Alabama, and you've got dozens of Haitian migrants that have been dumped off in town. Is it the churches? Does the church have an obligation to take care of those people? Are you being unchristian if you don't want to give money to support the Haitians? And honestly, I have no problem with telling the Haitians about Jesus, but can't we do that back in Haiti? I'm just asking. I don't know. Who says we cannot be for stronger border security and tough immigration laws as Americans while at the same time caring for the least of these and trying to share the gospel with all of God's children from every nation on earth? Again, I get it, but does every child from every nation on earth have to come to America, and are we responsible for taking care of them? So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what is the role of the Christian church? Because right now, the Christian church in America, they're the ones that are bringing all the illegals over the border. That's a story for another conversation. We'll be right back. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. All right. Well, we've got a lot going on today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, here's something you need to understand about what's going on in the country right now. The Democrats truly believe that Donald Trump is the next Adolf Hitler, and the Democrats believe that there is a justification to have President Trump killed. They believe that. And that's why when you see these statements coming out or when they go before the cameras, there doesn't seem to be a sense of remorse. It's almost like they're being forced to read from some sort of a script, and because it's not real. They really do believe that Trump is irredeemable. They believe all of you are irredeemable. And Peter Ducey yesterday called out KJP for this during the White House press briefing. Now, this is a bit lengthy, but it's important for you to listen to this because it gives you some insight into who these Democrats really are. The Democrats believe the greater threat to the country, it is more dangerous. The greater threat is you calling them out. They believe that's the greater threat because they believe that they are on some sort of a jihad, a crusade, to take out all of the Trump supporters in America. And by the way, it's not that they want to come to your house and shoot you. They don't want you coming out of your house. They want you so scared. They want you so on edge that you don't go to a Trump rally, that you don't go out and put a Trump sign in your yard, that you don't put a bumper sticker on your car. They want you to be so terrified that you don't go and vote on Election Day. Remember a couple of election cycles ago when they had the Black Panthers out with their guns standing directly in front of the polling places, and the whole point was to intimidate voters. You know what you do in that instance? You show up with your own lawful weapon. That's what you do. Don't be afraid of these people. They're bullies. Anyway, here's Peter Ducey, and God love him. He called out KGP yesterday, cut number six.
It's been only 2 days since somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat. How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from an administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because your question involved a comment and a statement. And, that is also incredibly dangerous. When we have been very clear in condemning political violence from here, what I have said about the president, the former president, about January 6th is facts. That's you all have reported. It is fact. When you have a former president who basically says that the election wasn't, the results of the election were not the results of the election, when dozens of more than 60 Republican judges said that it was a free and fair election. More than 60 said it was indeed a free and fair election. You had more than 2,000 people who were told to go to the Capitol. It was one of the darkest days of our democracy. One of the darkest days. There were people who, law enforcement officers, who died because of what happened at the Capitol. And they were there because the former president told them to go there. I mean, I don't know if that's not a threat in our democracy when it was one of the darkest days of our democracy, January 6th. One of the darkest days. And so we have been very clear from here. Now, we can have a disagreement on policies. We can, on issues. That is what we should do. It is important to have those disagreements. It is welcome to have those disagreements on the economy, on health care, on foreign policy. But when you start bringing political rhetoric, that is not okay. And that's what you've heard from us, too. You've heard of differences on policies.
But to your point, there are people watching at home who might miss the part where you say, let's lower the temperature. And there are mentally unstable people who are attempting to kill political candidates, attempting to kill Donald Trump. And they are still hearing White House referred to him as a threat. Is there no concern that people are taking that literally?
We're using examples. We're not just saying that just to say it. January 6th, Peter. January 6th. Wait, January 6th. How many times do I have to? January 6, 2021. That is a fact, what was reported, that happened on that day by some of your colleagues. I mean, and we have, at the same time, denounced political violence over and over, political rhetoric over and over again. Over and over again. But I know your focus has to be on this side of the house. It can't be on your side of the house. I get that. But we also have to be careful on how you're asking me these questions. People are watching. And is what you are saying about us raising political violent rhetoric, whatever, however you just formulated it, is this is an administration that has denounced and condemned any type of political rhetoric or violence. It is the reason why this president decided to run in 2020. That is why the president decided to come back. He believed that it is important to save the soul of America, of our nation, and he believed it was important that we continue to fight for our democracy, fight for our freedom. That's what you see from this administration. I'm moving on.
Oh, boy. Yeah, wow. So, look, I wanted you to hear all of that. They're not going to apologize, and they're not going to back down. They want Donald Trump dead. And I know that's a shocking thing to say, but it's true. Otherwise, they would not be calling him. By the way, yesterday, during the National Association of Black Journalists gathering, they treated her with kid gloves. It was like she was getting a Swedish massage, ladies and gentlemen. It was very clear that all of the questions were pre-planned in advance. There was no heckling. Remember when Donald Trump showed up? And by the way, he didn't even have to show up because Trump knew what was going to happen, but he didn't care. He sat there and they just attacked this man. There was all sorts of vitriol. But it's very interesting to point out, and people are going to get so upset here, but it's true. I said at the time, after that whole Trump interview, I said, you know, they wouldn't treat a black reporter like that. They wouldn't. And they didn't, by the way. Kamala Harris showed up as a black person yesterday. Not the Asian, not the Indian American, but the black American. But and the point is true. And it was proven yesterday. I'm just telling you, folks, they want this man dead. They don't believe he should be alive. During that National Association of Black Journalists interview, they literally brought up a new term, and I had not heard this term before used in this context. They used the term irredeemable racism to describe Trump. Irredeemable racism. In other words, and let me spell this out for all of you people of the Caucasian persuasion out there. So, honkies of America, listen up. Here's what that means. It means that if you're white, that you can never find redemption from your racism. There's this idea out there that every white person in America, when they are born, they're automatically a racist, which, by the way, flies in the face of Christianity because we are all made in God's image. And they're what they're saying is that God made a mistake when he made white people. I don't think he did. I think we're all made in God's image. We should all love each other no matter the color of our skin. But now they're judging us because of the color of our skin. But that's the next big thing here, is that you guys can never be cured of your racism if you're white because you are beyond redemption. That question was literally asked of the Vice President of the United States. She could have taken a moment to say, well, that's the most absurd question I've ever heard in my life. There's no such thing as irredeemable racism. As a matter of fact, and she could have said, and I don't know what religious flavor she is, but if she's a Christian, she could have said, you know what? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that no one is beyond redemption, that the foot of the cross is level playing ground, that we can all come. We can all become Christians. We can all be redeemed. All of us can. But she didn't say that. She should have, but she didn't say that. So all that to say, I'm not surprised that KJP said what she said yesterday, but you need to understand, these people are vile. These people are dangerous. And their rhetoric has put a bullseye on every single conservative American in the country. It has. Go back to 2016 and the stories, and I covered all of this on my website, and you can find the stories. We archive everything. How many people were just Trump supporters walking to a rally, holding a Trump sign, wearing a MAGA hat, and they were brutally attacked and beaten, left bloodied in the street, even high school kids, junior high school kids. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones real quick. Patty in North Carolina. And Patty, I understand your daughter is at the rally today?
My daughter, my granddaughter, her friends, they were at the Wildwood one too. Listen, my daughter's a chip off the old block here. She has no fear, and that makes me scared because I worry about her. I worry that if they can't get him, they're gonna get the supporters. J.D. Vance has got to watch out. Everybody that supports him has a target on their back.
All of us do, Patty. But we can't let that fear drive our lives. We've got to go on.
Why do you think my granddaughter and my granddaughter's 24 is voting for Donald Trump? Her and her friends are young kids. I call them kids because I'm 64. She's 24. They're all voting for Donald Trump. They love Donald Trump. They see through the dummy. They know what they know. And you know what? I am so proud of what I raised. But you know what? It makes me nervous because I'm afraid something's going to happen to my kids.
Yeah, look, I think that's, I mean, look, you're a parent and you're always going to have those concerns, but you know what? They're among good people and God is in control, and what's going to happen is going to happen. And Patty, I'm just of the impression, and I, you know, I thought about that a long time before putting Trump signs out in front of our building that I own here. And I, you know, I thought, you know what? I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of the fact I'm not going to live in some sort of a political closet.
Exactly. You should see what I have in front of my house. You would laugh. I'm telling you, I have Trump. I got everything. I'm going to just keep on going. In my car, I have a Trump sign in the back of my car. I have a Let's Go Brandon hat. I'm a Trump girl. I drive around, but I'm in a very red area. And I'm very lucky to live in a red area because if I'm in a blue area, you know what's going to happen to me, right?
Well, Patty, I'm in deep blue territory here. So, but we've got cameras and you know what? We're not afraid to go after these people. We're really not. Here's my take on it, Patty. Conservatives are a peaceful people, but we will not be tread upon. We will not be tread upon. So, Patty, so your daughter, is she in the line already? Have you heard from her?
She's been there since 6:30 this morning.
Wow. So what has she been telling you? Has she been telling you what's happening?
There's thousands. They sold 60,000 tickets, but only 16,000 can get inside. But they have big screen TVs outside.
Patty, in New York, on Long Island, Patty.
I'm telling you, I think it's going to be a landslide, Todd. I'm telling you, I believe that's why they're going after him, because they're losing.
Oh, they know. Oh, big time, big time. Patty, I want your daughter to, we've got to have a full report tomorrow, so we need to know how things went, and we're excited. I hope she's able to get inside the building. Patty, I got to run. I'm super late for a break. Good hearing from you. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Don in South Carolina. Hi, Don, what's on your mind?
Hey, how are you? What was that lady's dissenting view, please?
Patty, from North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, so do you disagree with something she said?
Well, I wanted you to summarize what she said. I'm going to make sure I'm correct.
Well, just get to it here, Don. We don't have a lot of time. Okay,
well,
Don.
I just wanted to.
Do you have a comment or not, Don? Because we've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in.
Yeah, I just wanted to summarize what she was saying to make sure I'm correct before I give you an answer.
Okay, Don, give us a call back, Don. I'm not sure what that's all about, folks, but let's make sure. Folks, when you call into the program, I'm not here to review for you. When you call into this program, be prepared to have a conversation. All right, bring the facts. That's what this is all about here. All right, you are a part of the program. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking with our good friend, Pastor Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. 17 years, just celebrating a big anniversary, a lot going on there. And we're going to talk to him about the importance of getting people of faith out there in the public marketplace. And having a church that is actually strong and making a difference. Also coming up, we have got our hands on official 911 calls from Springfield, Ohio. Those of you watching us right now on our Rumble TV channel, these are the 911 calls in my hand. And you're not going to believe this, folks. But, you know, the mayor is saying, yeah, cats are not being eaten. Pets are not being targeted. We have 911 calls that prove otherwise. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Good to have you with us, the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Friday, filling in for Prime News again, so you'll be able to watch me 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The official chaplain of the Todd Stearns Radio Show joins us, our good friend, the senior pastor at First Baptist Dallas, Texas, host of Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, hope you're doing well.
Brother Todd, I am. Good to talk to you.
Well, we have to say a big happy anniversary to you. What, 17 years as senior pastor at First Baptist Dallas?
That's right. We're honored to have been here 17 years. I'm the third longest tenured pastor. The first guy was there 50 years. The second guy was there 47 years. But I've got a ways to catch up. But anyway, it's a great church, and we love Todd Stearns at First Baptist Dallas.
Well, I love First Baptist Dallas, and I know that now that was not your first stint there. I mean, this is where you grew up. Is that right?
Right. I grew up in the church in downtown Dallas. Was baptized there, called to the ministry, was a youth director there in another generation, but came back 17 years ago to pastor the great church.
And I want to ask you about an update here in just a moment on the old sanctuary building, but I'm just curious, what's that experience like growing up in a church and then seeing the massive transformation over the years?
Well, it's been very gratifying, and we give God the glory for it. And it's just a miracle that they knew everything they knew about me growing up there, but still called me as pastor. So I'm always grateful for grace.
You, we mentioned the old sanctuary, which is just a beautiful facility. I've had a chance to attend worship services there. Got to hear W.A. Criswell preach there a time or two. And it was really shocking when we all got the news that the fire had broken out. How are things going? I mean, and what decisions have you guys made on what to do with that historic sanctuary?
Well, you know, that sanctuary has been called the Notre Dame of Evangelical Christianity. And really, so many people have preached there. Three presidents had visited there, Woodrow Wilson, Gerald Ford, and George Bush. Donald Trump had visited our new sanctuary. But Billy Graham preached from that pulpit many times. And so it had a lot of history to it. The good thing is we're going to rebuild it, and we're not going to recreate it brick for brick. We're going to do it more efficiently but beautifully with the stained glass windows, and we're just grateful we had our new worship center to go into. We would have been homeless without it, but God worked out all of that ahead of time.
Well, that's exciting news. I remember the first time you ever interviewed me was on the platform there at First Baptist Dallas,
right,
in that old sanctuary, so I remember that quite well. It's it's a reminder, I guess, that, you know, buildings are still our buildings, and the church is the people, but those buildings hold special memories for all of us. And I have to imagine a lot of people, you know, they're going back generations just like you. That building meant something to a lot of families.
It did, but our people are remarkably resilient. They realize that the church is not bricks and mortar, it's the people. And in fact, we did something interesting after the service last month, after one of our first services back. We had all the people come out on the street after the service, thousands of them, and we took a panoramic picture and put a two-page ad in the Dallas Morning News saying, "We are First Baptist Dallas. Thank you for your prayers." And it's just a way of reminding our city that the church is people, not a building.
I'm curious, did they ever figure out what caused that fire? Is that still under investigation?
It's still under the investigation. The investigation has been kind of slowed down. It wasn't real safe to go in there, and they're just now, I understand, having a chance to go in. The most likely cause was it's an old building with old wiring, and that's what did it.
All right. Well, Pastor Robert Jeffress is joining us here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Dr. Jeffress, you look at what's happening across the country right now, and I said something earlier and about the condition of the modern church in America, so many churches disengaging from the culture and the public marketplace. And I'm wondering if that's part of the issue, is that we don't have strong churches that are really at the center of what's happening in communities across the country.
I think that's a lot of it, Todd. And in fact, I'm so convinced of it. I preached a special message 2 weeks ago, how a Christian should vote, not telling people for whom to vote, but I talked about why we ought to vote, you know, and then I gave four questions to ask for any candidate before you vote for them. But many people don't realize John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, co-author of the Federalist Papers, and he said, quote, "God has given us the privilege in this Christian nation of choosing our leaders, and it is not only our duty, but obligation to prefer and select Christians as our leaders." Did you know John Jay was a Christian nationalist? I guess he was, because those were fighting words to the left. A Christian nation and selecting, preferring Christians as our leaders? That's exactly what John Jay said. And we need to quit apologizing for getting involved in politics. Politics, the word simply means the affairs of the city. God cares what happens in our cities and our country. You know, God created not just the church. He created the church, the family, and government. All three are God-ordained institutions that have different responsibilities, but Christians ought to be involved in all of them.
And isn't it interesting? And they're so open about it. I mean, we know what's really going on here. You've got Kamala Harris, and she can go out and speak at a large church, and nobody bats an eyelash. You've got so many of these, high church denominations that are literally turning their sanctuaries into, you know, rainbow sanctuaries, and that's okay. But heaven forbid you have a Republican show up at an evangelical church and share a testimony. All of a sudden, that becomes a case of nationalism.
Well, it was, and it got we had Vice President Pence, when he was still vice president, come and just share his Christian testimony a few months before the election. We never mentioned he was running for office, just let him share his testimony. 3 days before the election, Joe Biden, this is 2020, went to a black church in Philadelphia, campaigned, had a campaign banner. Guess who the IRS investigated? It wasn't that church with Joe Biden. It was our church having the sitting vice president of the United States there. I mean, it's outlandish.
Wait, the IRS investigated you guys?
Oh, yeah, for a year and a half.
Wow. Yeah, look, I've been there, done that. Years ago when I was at Fox, Dr. Jeffress, I got audited 2 years in a row during the Obama administration. So I went down to, I won't name the person in Fox Legal, but I'm like, "Can you guys do something about this?" And they're like, "Get in line, pal. We're all getting hit." I'm like, yeah, but I don't make that O'Reilly money, so this is really hurting. Wow. Well, I feel like I'm in better company now that First Baptist got nailed by the IRS, too. So,
well, it all got resolved, as it should have been. But the point is, if the left is using the church to promote their values, it's called social justice. If the right does it to promote Christian values, it's nationalism, it's mixing church and state and so forth. It's just such rank hypocrisy.
Oh, it is. It is. I want to ask you about Donald Trump, and I know that you had a close relationship with him during the first term in office, and was one of the spiritual advisors. What's your take on this? He survived two assassination attempts, and he just seems unscathed by that.
Well, it brings to mind the saying, "Every person is immortal until his work on earth is done." And I don't think Donald Trump's work on earth is done yet. I don't pretend to know God's will. I hope it's to have him elected for a second term. But it's obvious that God intervened in that situation to have this happen twice. And, you know, the first time come within a centimeter of his head. I mean, it's just amazing that he survived that. But I think it's a strong sign that God isn't through with him. And people, I mean, they get bent out of shape when I said God has a plan for Donald Trump. Of course he does. He has a plan for you and for me as well. You know, Psalm 139 says God has written every day of our life in his book before we live one of them.
It's overwhelming to me, you know, in the media. And I see, you know, they come after you when you say things like that. And yet there was a time in this country when pastors were the go-to people in the communities for comments on things that happened, catastrophes or terrible acts of violence. And now it's almost, you know, it's almost unheard of. And so for someone like you to interject into the national discourse, well, here's what the Bible says about it. I think it's great, but I think it really triggers a lot of people in the media these days.
Yeah, it does. Sends them into seizures, but that's okay. I mean, I appreciate my place on the Todd Starnes Show as the official chaplain, so thanks for allowing me to interject a faith perspective.
You have your hands full, so it's the least we could do. It is. All right. Well, Dr. Jeffress, congratulations. What a great anniversary, and it's so exciting to see. And one final thought here. I know that you guys could have moved out of downtown, yet you guys made the strategic decision to stay put. And I'm curious, was that the right decision after all these years? Was that the right decision to make?
I think it was. I mean, it's going against the grain, but I think every major city needs a church in the center of the city that's sharing the light of Jesus Christ. And we use the slogan about our church, you know, our church isn't built on tradition, denominationalism. Our church is built on the Bible. And people change, polls change, cultures change, but God's word never changes.
Well said. All right. Well, Dr. Jeffress, we always appreciate you and congratulations. And we look forward to coming back down to Dallas one of these days soon.
We'll look forward to having you. Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Pastor Robert Jeffress, the official chaplain of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. He is also the pastor at First Baptist and the host of Pathway to Victory. By the way, you know, he's also a pickleball player. Did you know that about Dr. Jeffress? Yeah, he was out there. I saw him on Fox and Friends. He was playing pickleball. I'm like, wow, how about that? Never had that in the bingo game. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Do you believe that God has a plan for Donald Trump? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Don't forget, 5 o'clock on Newsmax. And if you are not aware, Newsmax now offers you an opportunity to invest and become a part owner in Newsmax. NewsmaxInvest.com is the website. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Would really encourage you guys to get out there and check out the great opportunities. Also, before you buy anything, check, you know, consult with your attorney, your investment gurus. Newsmaxinvest.com. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. And I completely agree with that. All right. Springfield, Ohio. There's been a lot of factually inaccurate information coming out, and we're going to try to help set the record straight here. Now, you heard the city manager say and the mayor say that there's been absolutely no evidence. No one has ever made any insinuations or accusations or allegations that Haitians were out there eating people's cats and dogs and the geese out of the local pond. Well, I'm going to play some audio here, and you're going to hear a citizen raising concerns, and you will hear the city manager, and this was back in March, you will hear the city manager of Springfield, Ohio, acknowledge that they have gotten complaints. Let's take a listen to cut one.
Laws and you know, culture is 180 degrees different than what they're used to. And one of the things that I heard that bothered me very much, and I've actually had quite a few people contact me here lately, is some pretty horrid things occurring to domesticated animal in the neighborhood. We've had some stuff in the park that they're being taken advantage of for reasons other than, and if you shake your head, Brian.
I asked me if there was proof. I just don't have proof of the same thing.
People that have confided in me have asked me for anonymity. I can't give their names up.
I mean, we haven't seen the proof that you're talking about. And I've heard about it, too.
Yeah.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. He's heard about it. So, again, you need to understand that City Hall is playing a politics here. Also, our friends over at Judicial Watch were able to get their hands on actual 911 calls. And I want to read some of these 911 calls to you from Springfield. Again, the City Hall says these don't exist. But Judicial Watch filed a FOIA request, and the police department there in Springfield readily passed these along. Here is one call. We've got a couple here. I'll just read this one. She called 911. She says she thinks her neighbor stole her cat and chopped it up and have it in their backyard. She is advising that the neighbors are Haitian, and she doesn't know who they are. Here's another one. Spoke to Anna. She advised that her cat went missing, has not been seen since. She found meat in the backyard and thinks it was her cat. Oh, geez, that's terrible. No bones or fur around the meat. She suspects the Haitian neighbors. By the way, this was back in August. Back in August, all right? No evidence to support this claim. Unknown if the meat she had was actually cat meat. Anna had collected the meat and put it in her fridge in hopes to get it cremated. Oh, my. Golly. What do people do now when they're. Here's another. Well, we don't have the information on that. The other call here. So I'm curious. So when your pet dies, I mean, what do you just put it in the backyard? I mean, that's what we did when we were kids growing up, right? Dad gets the shovel, and the next thing you know, you got another tree growing in the backyard. A little Fluffy out there, Kitty Wayne, Lassie, phone home Lassie. Anyway, I don't want to get too sentimental here, but I'm just kind of curious. So there you have it, folks. Again, the narrative, and it's all about the narrative. You just can't trust the media. You cannot trust the media. Let me say this one more time. You cannot trust the media in this country. Now, when we started this program many years ago, I promised you that we would always be forthcoming. We would always share factual information with you. If a mistake is made, we fess up to it. But more than anything else, it was important for me to convey to you that everything we do comes from a Christian and conservative worldview. Everything we do. And it's coming from that worldview. And it's important for people to understand that. I don't care if you're a conservative Christian or if you're a liberal Muslim. I don't care. But I just want you to know, hey, this is where I'm coming from. And within that context, I'm happy to have a conversation. But I always want people to know exactly where I'm coming from. The mainstream media, they don't do that anymore. They lie about it. And if David Muir and his anchorette, Lindsay Davis, if they had just been honest, and if Lindsay would have said, you know what, we're sorority sisters, and I hate Donald Trump. And if David Muir would have said, you know what, our boss is Kamala's best friend, so we're not going to, you know, do anything that's going to upset that apple cart, then at least we would have known where they were coming from. But they're not honest. They're liars. And we don't tolerate liars on this program. All right, folks, been a great show. If you missed one of the segments, you've got to go back and listen to what Laura Trump said about her father-in-law. You can do that by downloading the podcast over at toddstearns.com. Be good, America.